You're listening to Iris Pick of the Week, local sports broadcasting on KVON.
Kako Pizzanato. It's fouled by number 5, Lucas Fullinger. It's his second first on that one down the ball. He needs a vintage basket. Finish playing backcourt pressure. Really making out the work to get to the forecourt, which they do. Pass forward to number 22. Underneath the basket. Backward layup does not go. Vintage with the rebound. Bring it quickly to the forecourt. Driving lane, number 13, hook shot is no good. Napa, number 21, Pizzanato with the rebound. Brings the ball all the way down. Driving toward the hoop, stops about an 8-footer bench shot, curls off. Vintage with the rebound, bringing it into the forecourt. 9 seconds left in the first quarter. Quick pass, number 13. A pass from the 35 line on the attempt is blocked by number 22. Andrew Rembold, and that will end the period with a score. The Vintage Crushers, 11. The Napa Grizzlies support at the end of the first quarter here in Napa's Messner Gymnasium. 7:35 left in the second quarter. 11-4 Vintage. Downs the ball and now coming up third again. Vintage applying some defensive backcourt pressure. Number 3 on the fast break for Napa. Samita layup is no good. Now off the board goes to Vintage. Vintage in the fourth court. Number 11 taking a 3-point shot around and off. Vintage, number 1 with the rebound. That would be Daniel Mitchell. Good for the layup. 13-4. Vintage napping, bounce the ball back to Iris.
Okay, and we have Napa getting the ball in the backcourt as they quickly try to get into that front court area, and they get it into Kringen. Kringen passes over towards the corner there to Zadima, and he fires, and the score is 13-6. Again, our apologies for our technical problem, but hopefully we're getting corrected as we progress through the game. This is the JV game, and we'll be on with varsity action following this, of course. Napa has the ball. Zadima takes it to the left side there. Drives in towards the key. Gets his little pass over to Christian. Fakes right. Goes left. Fires a top of the key shot. No good. Rebound taken out by the Crusher. Nataro leads the fast break. Going down. Goes all the way to the baseline. Puts it up and scores. Oh, good move inside after he got down to the baseline. Just a little curl in and laid it off the backboard for 2 points. And it's 15-6 now, 6 minutes to go here in the first half. Napa has the ball, and Vintage has the lead. And Napa's Pizzanato loses the ball, but it's retrieved by Zadima. Zadima gets it over into the attacking territory now to Pizzanato, and it works it around as far as staying behind the arc. And the pass, a good cut, blind sight, going in is Zadima. He's fouled before he can get the shot away. It'll be a two-shot foul nonetheless as Lucas Bollinger is going to be called for the personal foul. Again, our apologies for technical problems here. Always a possibility, but we've got basketball, so we want to let you know what's happening here in the little big game. Zadima missed the first of two free throws. Keone Sisco comes back into the lineup, replacing Dylan Newman as Brad Swim makes a change in the Napa JV lineup. Free throw is up. This one, no good. And that leaves the score 15-6. And the ball caroms out of bounds. It'll be Crusher's ball in their backcourt. Napa will pick him up at midcourt. Napa has brought Christian Jake. Christian back into the game, and there's a whistle and a little shove, and it looks like it's going to be a foul called, but not yet into the bonus is Napa. Vintage will inbound the ball. That was the fifth team foul against Napa, and on the inbound pass is intercepted by Napa. Coming in there was Dylan Newman to get the interception. Brings it into the forecourt. Passes baseline right. Cut off the play. Can't get a shot away. So Cisco brings it back out. Goes in the middle. There's a left-handed shot down the lane. Up, no good. Rebound up and good. What a second effort there by Ross Kringen.
It sure was. He was determined to score. Great job.
And he did that. So Treasures in the forecourt. Nataro nearly lost the ball, and then it's whistle. And the ball was deflected out of bounds. It's given to Vintage. Kreischer's replaced Cole Capignotti. Into the lineup is Bryce Powers. He returns for Vintage. Vintage JVs are 10-6. The ball is deflected by Napa into the backcourt, but it is legal because it was touched by Napa. Into the forecourt. Boy, it looks like almost some shoving going on there. With the ball is Estrada. It goes over. There's a three-point attempt up by Nataro. No good. Rebound goes out of bounds. And still in the backcourt, got a couple more changes. Bollinger back in. Back in. Chudno is back in. And the Chrysers have the ball. And they also have a 15-8 lead here in the JV action. And there is a whistle and a foul. It was away from the ball on a holding at baseline. The 1-1 is in effect now, so it will be a factor as Daniel Mitchell will stride to the free throw line. Matt Patain coming in to replace Jacob Christian. Patain is a junior on the JV team. He's one of two juniors, Cisco being the other. Free throw is perfect. So that means that Mitchell gets the bonus. 6'1", 155-pound sophomore. He's got a good stroke up there at the foul line. And he takes his time, bounces the ball, and his free throw is good. Twirled around the rim and settled in. 17-8 now as Napa brings the ball forward court, driving. They try to go all the way, but Zadima was tied up as he got in the lane and then the ball was deflected away from him, but off of him. Chrysler's make a couple more changes. Boy, Johnson's really bringing players in and out.
He is. Just about every time there's a stoppage in place, he's doing them two by two like in Noah's Ark.
Bollinger has his quarter court right side. He started to go into the corner. He'd been boxed in if he did that, so he comes back out. Now pass deflected back to Bollinger. Bollinger on the angle right side now. Gets his pass over to Kvidal. He missed the shot. Rebound. Crusher save it from going out of bounds, and they bring it back out to the top of the key. Working it around now over to the left side. And again, we got a number two, but I don't have a two on my roster. Maybe you have one on the roster four. No, this would be for Vintage. For Vintage there. Let's see. As
Torres is number two.
Or Torres. There is a shot that's no good, but rebound is by Napa, so no harm done. No, nothing happened there. So Torres was number four, so he's number two. Okay. Oh, there is a change of possession. That's Vintage just in there to grab the ball away from Napa. 3 minutes to go, first half, and the Crushers slowing down the tempo now. They had a fast pace early on in the game, but they lead it 17-8. Ball goes baseline right. Now kicks it back out to the left side to Bollinger. Bollinger, a bounce pass to the top of the key. Gets it to Noah Torres. Torres, and there's a foul and a shove is called. Just over 2.5 minutes to go here in this, the first half of the Little Big game, the JV game. Napa did not have a list of their record. Tried to find. They didn't even have all the scores of all of their games. But Vintage 10-6 coming in.
Yeah, Vintage basketball programs really had quite the resurrection the last year or two. Fun to see.
Well, they get the free throw to go down, so that means that Chudnow gets the bonus free throw. Asher Chudnow, he's a 6'1". Sophomore, and he missed that free throw attempt. Rebounded by Napa High's Cisco. He'll bring it in the forecourt himself. He stops atop the key, pops a three. It rims, no good. Rebound taken out by Vintage's Cavito. over on the right wing to Bollinger. Bollinger in the attacking territory, right side. Now comes back to the top of the key, working it around the perimeter. Bounce pass goes underneath the basket to Torres. Couldn't get a shot away. He gets a little pass over and putting the ball up and scoring 2 points was Asher Chudno. Coming down quickly the other way and just missing was Patani. They had a hurry-up. Both teams with hurry-up offenses now as they come down. We have inside of 2 minutes to go here in the first half of the ball game. Spreading the offense. Crushers look to penetrate that Napa defense, and Bollinger tries to do so, but he's cut off there. They boxed him back out, so he comes back out. There's a three-point attempt up, and that's good by Nicholas Solario. There we go. Solario gets the basket, and that makes it a 23-8 score. Underneath, laying it up, missing the layup was Duma. His follow was no good, and then the follow was taken by Cavidal. Cavidal gets it quick and forecourt. Bollinger, he looks at a three. He fires a three. It's an air ball. Rebounded by Vintage under the basket, and a travel's going to be called. 1 minute to go, first half. Pizzinato coming back into the lineup. His first name is Poe. His first name is John Copo. They call him Poe. He's a sophomore. Driving down and going up and scoring at Newman. Wow, nice solo play by Dylan.
Very nice play. The best offensive play of the night for Napa so far.
Oh, this is JV action, as we mentioned. A little big game. We'll be having the varsity action coming up here very soon. Their ball is deflected, but Bollinger saves it from going out of bounds for Vintage. Works it in the middle. That drops off a pass there for Cavidal. He gets it out to the top of the key. Gets it over to Torres, tries a three, no good. Reach in foul is called on Vintage after the rebound was secured by Rembolt. 1-1 is in effect for both teams now on common fouls. We're in the final half minute of the first half with both teams settling in and with both our broadcasters settling in as well. Free throw is up. It's no good. The rebound they'll put back up, no good. And this time it's Vinnie's that comes away with the rebound. Down to Bollinger. Bollinger pulls it back out. Goes over now to Powers. Underneath, the shot by Torres is good. It worked it to Noah Torres, who got the basket with 10 seconds to go in the quarter. 25-10 now. Quickly down court and missing the shot with Patin. He took it coast to coast, and that'll end the first half of action. Wow. So with the first half coming to a close, we'll see if we can get things adjusted around here and get all settled down for the varsity game coming up shortly. We'll have our halftime report on these statistics and settle the scene down. We'll settle down and we'll enjoy halftime entertainment that'll be presented by the spirit leaders. Okay, we're back here at the Messner Gymnasium. How about that? It's halftime of the JV game, and we've got Dino here with the stats.
So in that first half, the Vintage Crushers took 31 shots from the floor, made 9 of them, including 2 3-pointers out of 11 tries from beyond the arc. They were 5 out of 8 from the free throw line. That's how the Crushers got their 25. For the Napa Grizzly JV boys, they were 5 of 23 from the floor, including 0 for 2 from three-point range and 0 for 4 from the free throw line. And that's how they got their 10 points. Turnovers, 7 for Vintage, 7 for Napa. Vintage had 5 assists on their 9 made baskets. Napa 1 assist on their 5 made baskets. Vintage led in rebounding by a count of 20-14. Napa scored first. There were 3 lead changes after that. And the Crushers lead at halftime 25-10, Ira.
Okay, Dino. Well, that was a very fast-paced first half. And again, we're fortunate to have Travis Rogers with us tonight. And That is about as fast a basketball game as you'll see on the high school level.
They never took a breath. It was going considerably quick. Vintage applied defensive pressure in the backcourt, and it just frustrated Napa no end. It wasn't so much that they did a lot of turnovers, as they never really were able to settle down and feel like they were in control. It doesn't feel like a 15-point lead game. Napa came close on their shots. It doesn't look like one team's necessarily dominating, but the scoreboard tells a different story.
Of course, we've been having these technical problems where we've been in and out of the game, too.
Yeah, that's been a little unsettled for us as well. Got to like high tech or no tech, as the case may be.
Well, we just are being entertained now by the Napa Spirit Leaders. You can see how they are Grand National Champions.
Yep, got beautiful costumes. I'll change into another one for the varsity game. Vintage Spirit Leaders did a great routine to start the halftime entertainment tonight. And if they turned this music on any louder, I think probably the walls of the gym would collapse.
It is so loud in here. I don't know if you can hear us or not. If not, it's just the volume of the music. The dancers are great, though. It's definitely a program to watch.
It's amazing. You know, a year or two ago, Napa went to one team in their Spirit Leaders. They don't have a varsity and junior varsity Spirit Leader anymore. So you have freshmen on your senior girls. And it's a great way for the senior women to provide a lot of leadership to the freshmen that are coming up. And it's quite a large squad. And to see all the things they're able to do to keep it together, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, one of the leaders, well, I guess the leader of the cheer section now over at Vintage High, had been over at Napa High and had worked there with the Spirit Leaders.
Yeah, Angie Bartholomew had worked at Napa High for many years, Napa High graduate, worked with Holly Johnson in Napa High, so part of Holly's legacy.
Yeah. Well, Holly has quite a legacy, too, besides Angie.
Oh, amazing. It's national recognition. We're sitting here at side of basketball court and looking into the corner just to our left. We have more pennants up here, I think, for the Spirit Leader team than for any other team hanging here.
Huge ones, too.
Oh, big. Yeah, quite impressive display. It's just really one of the shining stars at our school.
And we're alluding also to the fact that Holly's daughter, Riley, is taking over.
Came through her mother's program. I believe Riley is not only helping Holly here, but I believe she also teaches some dance at Harvest Middle School as well.
Yeah, that's a program that you can participate in not only in high school with Spirit Leaders, but then can instruct after you get out of school.
You can. And in addition to the Spirit Leading team that you're seeing, it's a full dance program at both Napa and Vintage High Schools where eighth graders are auditioning to get in. There's only so many spaces that can be accommodated in the room per period, but it's very popular at both Napa and Vintage.
Well, the two JV teams are back in their dressing room yet. They have not come out to start this second half, but an exciting battle there early on that found Vintage lengthening their lead up to a 15-point advantage here at halftime. And varsity action will be coming up, and it's interesting to note that we'll come into this big game with Vintage in sole position of first place in the league.
And kudos to them. You know, for many years up until recently, there really wasn't too much basketball happening at Vintage. And it's really great to see it become, more than competitive. Holding first place down is really terrific. Napa's had, as I think most folks know, are familiar with the program, some players that weren't able to play this year because of injury, and it's shown in their record as well.
Well, in fact, Napa on the JV, they had Amari Atkins, who is a very good player, but he had a broken hand, so he's unavailable. And a guy that was a football player, Aiden McDonald, been an excellent basketball player, but he is out with injuries as well.
Yeah, and Napa varsity, you know, was counting on Brock Bowers in a real big way and not able to play because of the football injury for the entire season. It really changes it up.
And back here at Mester Gym, just in time to start the second half. Here we go. Napa with the basketball, trailing by 15 points as they have Patani in the forecourt. Passes over the low post to the right side as they try to work it around. Back to Patani. He banks it in. Fired one from the right angle there and banked it off the backboard for a two-point score. 25-12 now. And there's Patani on the steal. Coming in, he's got some numbers. Coming out with a bad pass. Goes off the fingertips, though, of Nataro of Vintage. So that's a break that Napa will retain possession.
And if they score another basket, they creep closer to making this a competitive game. Down by 13.
Well, they almost lost the ball, but it is retrieved. And they bring it back around to a low post right side. Going up and missing the shot for Napa was Christopher Horton. And so during football season, Travis Rogers had a chance to call his name quite a bit as a wide receiver.
Yeah, certainly did. Very active, very good player.
And his free throw is good. So he's got two more years football for Napa.
And he's a big, big kid. Just a tremendous athlete and a lot of bulk.
6'3", sophomore, back to the line. Overhand free throw is good. And that makes it 25-14. Napa is putting on a full court trap now. This is and they intercept. Good work by the trap. Driving in and laying it in and scoring is Cisco. The trap worked.
Yes, it did. And Napa has scored the first 6 points of the second half. They're getting back to the game, 25-16 now.
6 points in 1 minute of play. Vintage with the ball now quickly down court, and they are tied up. But I think you're going to call a foul. It looked like it was a jump ball, but the official is indicating there was a shove there, and it will be a foul called against Horton. That's three fouls on Horton.
And that call could have gone either way. I'm kind of surprised it got called on the Napa player.
Well, Troy Mott, the official scorekeeper or timer.
They're confused on the last foul, whether it was 22 or 32 heat called it.
So they're just checking on that last foul. It was on Horton is the one that they had given it to, and that has been confirmed by the official, but he's going to confirm it with the other official, I think, make sure that that's who it was. They nod affirmatively that it was on 32, which is Christopher Horton's number for Napa High. Chuck Johnson off of the vintage bench, arms folded there as he looks at his team trying to get into the scoring column here in the second half as their 15-point lead is down to 9 to single digits. Looking at a three-pointer and then pulling the pivot foot was Daniel Mitchell. Looked like he wanted to take it and then just did a little stutter step. And that turnover gives the ball in the backcourt to Napa High. This is the little big game, the JV action. And Napa nearly turned it over, but they get it in the forecourt. Driving into the lane as Horton puts it up and scored. Wow.
Very nice move by Horton. Napa got it down quite quickly and have scored the first 8 points of the half. It's a seven-point game now.
Yeah, Napa putting it in. And a bad throw by Vintage. Back when these two teams played over at Vintage won that JV game 65-28. Wasn't much of a contest, 65-28. Right now, it's only a seven-point difference. Vintage with the lead. Napa just drilled a three. That was Cisco coming out of one and burying a three-pointer.
Beautiful form. They left him open, and he took advantage of the opportunity. It is a four-point game.
Yeah, as 11 straight points by Napa, and they steal the ball. And Vinny steals it back underneath the basket. A two-handed slam dunk by Cole Capiani.
A little frustration relieved in that slam dunk. Vinny's first 2 points of the half.
First two. Napa quickly on the attack. As they're trying a three. It's good! Another three. This by Bo Pizziotto.
Beautifully done from the left side, and it is now a three-point game, 27-24 Vintage.
Quite a comeback here as Vintage brings the ball into the forecourt, and they have Capiani being bothered there as he tries to establish position on the baseline. Pass comes back out now, and there's a three-point attempt up. No good by Mitchell. But a long rebound comes out, and another three-point try, this time by Estrada, no good. Rebounded by Napa, and a reach-in foul is going to be called. It's going to go on the Treasures Estrada. A little bit of a frustration foul.
I think so. The game's getting away from Vintage a little bit. In 3 minutes, Napa has scored 14-2 run.
So Venetia's lead is 3 points. It was 15 at halftime, and Napa has the ball now as they bring it down over the left side, working it around. Looking, they're going to get double teamed, so they fire the ball out to the top of the key, and the ball is batted away, and it's safe from going out of bounds, but then tossed out of bounds off of Vinny's Matt Patain. He's been very active.
He sure has. Kind of the quarterback, you see him driving very quick, very fast, and much in control. Very impressive play.
All right, this is a little big game as we continue now. Patain has the quarter court right side, the free throw line extended area, bounces it in, gets a return pass, then fired over for a three-point shot. Good! Another three, just by Cole Pizziotto again.
And Cole, with those two three-pointers, has drawn Napa to a 27-27. Ty Napa gets the ball back.
On a steal, there's another three-point attempt. This one is no good. Oh, Horton went way high to try to get the rebound or tap that in, and Vinny tries to save it from going out of bounds, and they cannot do so. It'll be Napa's ball with a chance to take the lead this early on here in the second half.
They're shooting well, and then it just had many, many turnovers this quarter.
Wow, play has picked up as the play on the court continues to look good for Napa on those three-point shots. Tony used up the dribble. He's going to be pressured there, but he gets rid of the basketball over to Horton. Now it comes back to Matt Patani. And the ball is deflected out of bounds. It'll go over to Vinnings this time. Back in for the Crushers is Eric Cavidal. He is a 6'365-pound sophomore. Also, Justin Wyman, a sophomore, 6'3", coming in. Wyman getting his first experience in the game there. He will be on the front line. Goes to the right side there. Sets now comes way out toward the corner as Vintage brings it into the forecourt. Cockrell is also into the game for Vintage. There's a three-point attempt up, but no good. Rebound back out, and another three-pointer. That one is good on that three-point shot by Kudno, and there's a steal by the Crushers. Kudno made the three-point basket and brings in forecourt over in the left-hand corner. It goes to Cavidal, fired from there, no good. Rebounded by Horton for Napa. 3 minutes to go here in the third quarter, 30-27. Vinnie's leads by three. Napa fires a three from the right corner, no good. Rebound, Horton is good. Oh, good defensive or offensive rebound, we should say, getting the defensive player out of position.
And he was so excited about it, he almost threw it up there too hard. It almost spun out, but it made it. 1 point Vintage lead.
Horton playing with three fouls. There's a whistle and a foul near midcourt. I think they're calling it a foul. Sometimes they change it. And now that is going to be a foul on Pizzinato. Pizzinato called for the personal. It's a one-point game now as Vintage with the one-point lead has the basketball. Cockrell, who is a six-foot sophomore, over to Bettinger. Out now. There is a three-point attempt up. No good by Wyman. Rebound up and good by Bollinger. Bollinger played right under the basket and followed that missed shot up and in for the tap.
Yeah, very, very great play in a huge crowd. Napa's called timeout, and it's a 32-29 game Vintage with 2:24 left in the third quarter.
Yeah, the crowd will be picking up for the varsity actually coming up shortly.
It should. Right now, there were more fans here last night for the girls at this point in the game. It'll be interesting to see if and how it builds up.
See, Napa boys were the defending league champions, but they have had a bad time going, and Vintage is in first place in the league.
Yeah, and cool that both schools are able to be in first place over a two-year span. Napa, of course, lost a lot of players this year to injury.
All right, play resumes now. Napa throws the ball into the backcourt, but it was touched by Vinny, so it is legitimate. Horton drives in, and he has the ball taken away from him, and a good play by Goodno. Takes it down to the right-hand side. Napa's brought Rimble back into the lineup for them. Inside of 2 minutes to go here in the third quarter. Bellinger. Over there. They kick it into the right-hand corner for a three-point attempt. It's an air ball, but the offense, he gets the rebound. And the ball is blocked by Horton, but I think he's going to be called for his fourth foul. Good block.
It was a great block, and I didn't see where the body touched, but obviously the official did. He was much closer than we were.
Well, Horton has been the man in the middle for Napa.
Yes, he has. Unfortunately, though, that's his fourth personal foul.
So at the free throw line, Asher could know, and he could not make the first free throw. Well, for Napa High, Zadima comes in. He is about 5'8", and Horton leaves. He is 6'3".
Yeah, they're needing to take him out because of the four fouls that he's accumulated here in the third quarter.
Next free throw is good by Kudno. And so it is a four-point lead now for Vintage with a minute and a half to go in the third quarter. Napa has the basketball. Batani pulls up, jumper, rims, no good. Rebound going high, and garnering it is Eric Cavito. Cavito brings the ball in the fourth quarter. Nice ball handling there as he worked against Cisco. And then they take it over left side. Now back out the top of the key for a three. Good! Well, that was Asher Kudno, and he's come through.
He really has. And Vintage has had now two key three-pointers to take control of the game again. 7 point lead.
Yeah, both by Kudno, and there's a foul on Vintage. There'll be a two-shot foul for Napa. The foul on Cockrell. There'll be two shots coming for Napa High's Pizzinato. So it's Poe Pizzinato scoring the first free throw. We're in the final minute of the third quarter here in the JV game, the little big game for the boys. Here's the next free throw. That one is no good. Long rebound comes out, but it's garnered there by Kudno. Brings it forecourt. Comes over now to Wyman underneath the shot up. No good. Rebound put back up by Cavito. No good, but he was fouled. Cavito will go to the free throw line.
Check out those shoes on Cavito. Bright neon pink, bright neon green, man. They're stylish coming up and down the court.
Everybody has their own style of shoe. It's not like they used to be uniform, but no more on the shoe. The free throw is good. That's true in the NBA, too. You'd think that they would have a policy of everybody having the same.
And I wonder what the significance is where he has one of one color and one of the other one, but they really look cool.
Funniest thing, he has another pair just like him. All right, here play resumes. Now Napa brings the ball. Front court, they try to lob it into the middle. They get it in there to Rimble, but he can't get a shot away. Brings it back out now. Working it, and Vinnick reaches in and steals the ball as Kudno comes out with it, and he slows down the tempo now as he brings it forecourt. Well, with 18 seconds to go, they're not playing for the last shot of the quarter as Kudno drives with the basket, puts a shot up with the left hand, missed, but was fouled on the play. The Napa foul goes against Dylan Newman, and that puts Asher Kudno at the free throw line. 6'1 sophomore has had a good quarter here, and he scores that free throw. Only 14 seconds remain here in the third quarter. Of course, after the JV game, we'll be here to describe the action on the varsity big game. Free throw is good. Boy, I tell you, this Asher Kudno has saved the day for Vintage. Vintage had fallen behind.
Yeah, it's been a 13-3 run for Vintage here closing out the quarter. 4.4 seconds left.
Most of that thanks to the play of the Kudno. Napa gets the ball out of bounds with 4 seconds to go in the quarter. They get it into the right-hand corner. They're going to have to hurry and get a shot away. There it's on the way. It rimmed. It's no good. Attempted by Zadima, and that will end the third quarter. We'll be back with the fourth quarter of the little game, the little big game, the JV contest. So Napa down by 10 with the basketball here. They had pulled ahead there in that third quarter. What a comeback.
It really was. They opened the quarter with a 17-2 run before Vintage came back on a 13-3 run to answer.
Two big runs there that is of interest. Driving in the lane, going up, shooting, and just missing with Patani. And the rebound is taken out there by Strada for Vintage. He'll lead a fast break. Now he slows down, gets it over now to Nataro. Stolen away by Napa. Napa has some numbers as they come down, but they throw the ball away. They had Zanima going down, trying to get behind the defenders. They tried to lob a pass to him, but too far.
Yeah, Napa's just a little bit anxious. They do have some time to get back into this. It's 6:50 left in the fourth quarter.
Well, Napa's doing so much better than they did that first meeting, 65-28. Not much of a game there, but they have put together much. There is a three-point attempt. Nicks the front of the rim. No good by Mitchell. Rebounded, though, by Vintage. There's another shot put up. That is an air ball put up that time by Nataro. And the ball is controlled by Vintage again. They get another offensive rebound. They bring it back and set up their deliberate pattern now as they start to work the weave. Starting, and there is a little elbow thrown out there by the Crushers. And that's going to go on Bryce Powers on that foul. So team foul-wise, for Vintage, that was their fifth. Napa has committed six. So Vintage, if they go to the free throw line on a common foul, it would be a one-and-one bonus. And the ball is deflected away. A scramble, and it goes out of bounds. And let's see who it's awarded to, the Crushers. Right in front of us, it'll be Daniel Mitchell getting ready to inbound the ball. He looks, gets it in to Anthony Nataro with the right-handed dribble. They're inside of 6 minutes to go now here in the fourth quarter. 40-30, the score remains. Napa working it on the defensive side, and Vintage pull-up jumper and no good. Rebound, Napa, was scrappy rebound by Ross Pringan, and gives it over to Patani, who brings it in the forecourt. Over the left side now, Rembo starts to drive in, and a foul is called. It'll be a two-shot foul. The foul going against Vintage, Cole Capiani. Down at the free throw line is Rembo. Back into the lineup, replacing Estrada, is Lucas Bollinger. Napa makes a couple changes in their lineup as well. Before the free throw was attempted, there was a whistle. Now, the officials did not have things together at that point as far as ushering the players in.
Yeah, and they're still sorting it out. They're still trying to figure it out. Yeah, here goes number 15, Powers. Out, or he kept him in? It's weird. So players walked on and then right back off.
Well, the free throw by Rembold is good, and that makes it a 40-31 score. Napa on the tenacious defense now as they're starting to trap the ball. They'll double-team the player with the ball. They're not using the trap per se as far as the zone press, but we have a foul ball away from the ball again, a little shot. The one-and-one is in effect, by the way. Dahl is going to go against Napa High's Jacob Christian.
And it's his fourth personal. We have two players now with four fouls.
At the free throw line with the first free throw scoring, it means that Bryce Powers will get the bonus. Powers, 5'10", sophomore. Free throw, no good. And it caroms way out to the corner, and Napa tries to dive for it, and Rembo gets there. And there is a foul that's going to be called. Rembo went flying.
He sure did, and then just kind of fell down and skidded on the floor. And couldn't quite tell how and why the foul was called. It looked like he went for it by himself. I didn't see him touched on the play.
Yeah, I think his momentum carried him out of bounds, but the official thought it was a shove. So that'll put Rembolt back at the free throw line, and he scores. So he gets the bonus. Andrews made two in a row now at that foul line. Coming up on the five-minute mark here in the little big game, the JV contest. And the next free throw is no good. A rebound taken out by the Treasures as Nataro. He'll bring the ball in the forecourt. And there's a whistle away from the play. And the official is going to call a couple players to him. But this was away from the ball. A double foul was called. So let's see if we're getting it straightened out on they were just straightening it out, and it was a double foul. But,
yeah, it's set.
I guess they got it straightened out.
Yeah, they're needing to get the shot clock realigned or reset to 35-22. It's a double foul. There were fouls on both teams.
So we resume action now. Vidic has the possession of the basketball, and they work it over Lucas Bollinger. Brings it out to Nataro, working around the perimeter. Now it comes over to Cabidal, to Bollinger, and another whistle away from the ball. Boy, they are really watching that. And there is a shoving foul called away from the ball on Cabidal.
Yeah, it's getting a little rough. It's basketball, it's football, just a little bit as we're heading into the final minutes. Napa is desperately trying to get back into the game.
Well, Napa has played a much better game than the first time that they played against the Vintage JVs. There's a pull-up jumper from the right baseline. No good. Rebound, Cabidal. Boy, he went up high for that. Good ball player. Brings the ball front court. Stops at the top of the key. Passed over on the right side. Near the corner. Driving to the lane. Going up the left hand. Missing the shot is Daniel Mitchell. Rebound goes out of bounds. It'll be Napa's ball. So we have another change. Dustin Wyman back in. He will replace Cabidal. Christopher Horton is back in.
He's back in for the first time since he pulled his fourth foul with about 2 minutes left in the third quarter, and that's when things went back Vintage's way, so it'll be interesting to see if this changes momentum back to Napa.
Yeah, we still have plenty of time, over 4 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter. Bollinger, as he has the high dribble out at the top of the key. It's a man-to-man defense against the Treasures, and the pass goes over now the right side from Wyman. Over to Cockrell. Cockrell, with 5 seconds on the shot clock, gets in a little bit of traffic, and they've got 2 seconds on the shot clock. There's a three. Good! What a shot there by Bryce Howard.
A huge save as the clock was running out, and that takes the lead back up to 12 for Vintage.
Yeah, that was perhaps the blow there, that three-pointer there, just as the 30-second clock was, 5 second clock is going off.
Yeah, the ball had almost gone out of bounds. It looked like it was going to be off the Vintage out of bounds. It got saved right to him, and he had no time. He had to set up and toss it, and it went right in.
Napa with the ball. Patani drives right of the key. Oh, good pass to Christopher Horton, who lays it in. And Patani gets the assist on that.
Yeah, right place in the right time. 10-point game again, 3:15 left.
Driving into the lane and kicking it over to the right side to Wyman. Wyman used up the dribble. Finds Natari. Over to the left side. A three-point attempt is up, but no good. Rebound. Nice rebound by Wyman. Brings it back over to the side there to Mitchell. Inside of 3 minutes to go. Mitchell got a little opening. He drives in. Missed the layup. Goes for his rebound. And it's taken by Dustin Wyman. He missed it. And the rebound this time is to Napa High. And Napa loses the ball, and there's a scramble for the loose ball, and Vinny's comes up with it. 2.5 minutes to go, and it's 44-34. Vinny's in the lead.
And the coach is telling me to use a little bit of the clock, which is a smart thing to do with 2:24 left and a 10-point lead.
Now, Duck Johnson, the coach, one-time coach, Napa High boys varsity basketball. There, the ball is deflected by Horton, and a 3-on-2 fast break. If they want to use it, they do. Driving in, Anfitani missed the shot, but there was a foul called. It's going to be a full timeout.
Okay, back at Messing Gymnasium in Napa, 2:07 left in the junior varsity big game between the Napa Grizzlies and the Vintage Crushers. It's 44-34 Vintage as the team comes back out to the court from the Napa timeout.
You know what I think has been, it's such a big contrast from the time these two teams played earlier on, which was no contest, and credit Napa with improving a lot since that time. Here's Horton driving in, going up, shooting, missing, going for his rebound, but taken instead by Mitchell. Daniel Mitchell will slow down the tempo now as he brings the ball in. He is literally fouled at mid-court, reaching around and making contact with Cisco. So that's kind of one of those intentional type fouls. Napa wanting to get possession of the ball.
Yeah, they're going to need a lot of possessions. We're under 2 minutes now, and Napa trails by 10 points.
Dino will have those third quarter stats as well as the finals when we have a chance. In the meantime, we're looking at a free throw coming for Mitchell, and it is no good. Long rebound comes out to Pizzinato. He fires it ahead now over to Patin, working it around the circle, around the half circle. Patin drive in, goes up, missed the shot. Rebound cleared out by Capitani for Vintage in the forecourt to Mitchell. Mitchell likes to shoot the three. He handles the ball real well. Vintage has some good size, too, on that JV team. Minute 20 to go. Here in the, and there is a foul call as Treasure's got the ball to Bryce Powers, and he was double-teamed.
Yeah, Napa's just trying, frankly, to get the ball back, but frankly running out of time. There's now a minute 16 left in the game. That's the fourth personal foul on Cisco. He's the third Napa player to accumulate four fouls in this game.
First free throw is perfect. Bryce Powers at the line. Now that... previous JV score, 65-28, doesn't reflect this game at all. Next free throw is missed. Rebound no good. The rebound put back up and no good, but good, great effort there by Cole Capiani. He is improving. We've seen that from early on in the season until now. Oh, open underneath the basket, going up and scoring easily with Cisco as the Vintage defense collapsed there for a moment. 1 minute to go here in the little big game, the JV contest, and there's a foul called. Napa needs to get possession of the ball, and Newman, realizing that, commits the foul, sending him to the line on the free throw. It's the double bonus, so he gets two free throws, the first of which is up and good. Daniel Mitchell. He was a 6'1", 155-pound sophomore. Looks to be even taller than that.
Yeah, he's a big kid, a lot of bulk, a lot of muscle. And a very poised here at the foul line. Nice follow through. He misses this one, though.
Rebound out of bounds to Napa High. So he split free throws. Varsity action coming up. Vintage trying to stay in first place in the league. And that and just driving down Patan. Lays it up. No good by Patan. We call him Patin, Patani, you call him whatever, but he's been hustler out there tonight, and he's going to commit a foul right now trying to get possession of the ball for Napa High. The Napa foul on Patani, or Patin, I don't know. What is there a preference?
I honestly don't know. One guess is as good as another, potato, potato.
Free throw is good. This is Anthony Nataro at the foul line, a 5'9", 155-pound sophomore. He's a left-handed shooter, and he makes both free throws. That makes it 48-36, and that could be the final as Napa brings the ball down and loses it out of bounds, but it was off of a Vintage defender, off of Lucas Bollinger, so it'll stay with Napa High. Boy, Horton has played a really good game.
He really has, and it's a shame he got the four fouls so early because momentum really changed back when he just way when he went out in the near the end of the third quarter.
Well, they have an inbounds pass set to go to Horton. He gets the pass, but he traveled on the play as he was going to try a reverse layup underneath the basket. Foul in the backcourt with 17 seconds to go. These are unnecessary fouls now with 17 seconds and down by 12 points.
Yeah, they are. It would have been a good strategy maybe 2 minutes ago. But it's amazing. It's a 12-point vintage lead. It's the second time they've had a 12-point lead in the second half. But the game has played much closer than that this second half. It's been very competitive, really.
Yeah, Napa has done so much better than the first time. Can't get over the change free throw is good. They have really improved. And that's what you want to see in a JV team, the improvement.
Yeah, and it bodes well for the future. And they got some players who are really assertive out there, really appear to love playing the game.
And Vintage has so much potential, I think, on some of their players.
Oh, they sure do. They've been very, very impressive, particularly in the second quarter when they build out that 15-point halftime lead.
All right, it'll be Vintage's ball. Brad Swim off of the Napa bench saying something to some of his players as he walks from one end of the bench down to the other. Vintage will inbound the ball, and that'll be it. So that'll end the JV game as the Treasures hold on to win 49-36. Well, we're back here at Messner Gymnasium. And welcome in to high school basketball as we're finishing up one game and we'll be getting set for another game. But first of all, let's wrap up the JV contest. And here with those interesting statistics is Dino Alessio.
Thank you, Ira. So for the visitors, the victors, the Vintage Crushers, they ended up putting up 50 shots, 5-0, and making 14. That included 5 out of 21 from three-point range, and they were 16 out of 25 from the free throw line. The home squad, the Napa Grizzly JV boys, put up 45 shots, made 14 of them, so they made just as many field goals. They were 3 of 9 from three-point range, and they were 5 out of 12 from the free-throw line. Turnovers, 17 for the winners from Vintage, 14 for Napa. So Napa actually committed fewer turnovers. Assists, 7 for Vintage, 5 for Napa. Rebounding, a huge advantage for Vintage, as they racked up 41 rebounds to just 22 for Napa. There were no blocked shots. Napa was the first to score. There were 3 lead changes. Vintage went ahead for good. Napa did come back and tie it in the third quarter with a terrific 17-2 run to cut the gap from 15 down to a tie. And that was the one tie in the game. Vintage then came back and scored 13 out of the next 16 points that were scored to take a 10-point lead, and Vintage ended up winning the game by 13. Vintage's largest lead was 15. The Napa Grizzlies' largest lead was 2. And that's the summary for the JV game, Ira. Now time for the varsity.
Wow, that was really something as far as the that aspect. And you're from the school? Okay, from Napa High, tell us about the West Side Story. Is that what you're here for? No. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought. All right. Yeah. Okay. We had asked if somebody from the West Side Story could stop by and join us tonight to tell us about their production, because that would have been an opportunity for you to draw out interesting information about this coming musical.
Yeah, and hopefully between now and halftime, we'll find somebody who can do just that.
Well, more people are still coming in here. And we've got another basketball game coming up, and just not another one, but the big game. So your comments on the JV game here.
It was the tale of two games. Vintage went out to a 25-10 lead at halftime and was definitely in control. And Napa came back to open the half very quickly, scored 3 baskets literally within 55 seconds to start the second half to get back into the game, and took it from a 25-10 deficit to a 27-27 tie. And at that point, Vintage went on a run of their own, and at that point, I think the player of the game kind of shone through. For Vintage, In those last couple of minutes, Asher Chudnow did two terrific three-pointers, nothing but net, and two free throws that was able to get Vintage back up to a 40-30 lead by the time we hit the end of the third quarter. Napa came close a couple of times in the fourth, but wasn't able to get any closer really than to about 8 points in the fourth. So the critical time in this game, really those last 2 minutes of the third quarter when Vintage came back. And coincidentally, and maybe not so coincidentally, Krzysztof Horton of Napa had four fouls that he committed with about 1:55 left on the third quarter, and the momentum really changed back to Vintage at that point. But a much more competitive game than the first time that these two teams met. Very entertaining. The crowd doubled and tripled in size as it went on, as everybody's getting ready for the varsity game.
All right, well, let's select a player of the game. So let's go first to Travis Rogers.
Asher Chudnow of the Vintage High School Crushers. He turned a 27-27 tie almost single-handedly into a decisive Vintage advantage, particularly in the last 2 minutes of the third quarter with 2 3-pointers and 2 free throws.
I will echo that and say that that would be my choice too. Asher Chudnow just handled it so well from his wing position. 6'1", 175-pound sophomore. You're going to be finding out a lot about him in the next 2 years.
I think so. Very, very impressive player. But there were several out on the court. You know, on Napa's side, number four, I'm looking to see the player's name again. Matt Patang was just really in the middle of all the action. Christopher Horton did as well. Vintage, Cole Capitani, I believe it is. Really shown as well as did Eric Pividal. A lot of good players out there. This game was played at a very, very fast pace. There were a few minutes there near the end of the third quarter, fourth quarter, beginning of the fourth, a lot of fouls called. And you could see the assertion of both teams coming up a notch. This game was stopped many, many times for foul calls. There were a lot of fouls.
Yep, that's part of the game. Well, we do have the Napa High Pep Band here. It's always nice to have the Pep Band show up.
It really is, yeah. And, you know, they're kind of the underappreciated folks. These are kids who are taking band as a class, but they spend so many hours outside of that, not just football halftime shows, but many of them are involved in jazz band that do many gigs in the community and in the area. And this happens at both Napa Vintage High School. So it's great to see a good representation of the Napa Pep Band out tonight. And the stands are starting to fill up a little bit, too, as we're getting ready for the varsity big game.
Well, and the line is forming at the concession stand, which is always a good sign, too.
Well, it's dinner for a lot of folks who are coming straight from work to watch the action tonight. And we don't mind if the game starts a little bit late. Heck, it's the beginning of the weekend.
All right, well, that pretty well wraps up our broadcast of game number one of our doubleheader, the little big game. And do you know, do you have any final comments about the JVs?
Well, I thought it was a terrifically entertaining game. I love the way that the Napa Grizzlies fought back when it was 25-10 at halftime. I thought it was going to turn into a runaway, and the Grizzlies came back with a terrific start in that third quarter. Altogether in the third quarter, the Grizzlies made 7 of 12 shots, including 3 3-pointers. That was after only making 5 out of 23 in the first half. So the shooting got a lot better, particularly from long range. And they fought their way back to tie it. And I don't know if maybe they used up too much energy in fighting back to tie it to be able to finish the deal. Or maybe it was just the personnel for Vintage as players were being bought in and out. But Vintage at that point pulled away with a 13-3 run. And it never really got closer than about 9 or 10 points after that. But a terrifically entertaining game. And picking up where we left off last night when we had a fantastic varsity girls game. And now a terrific JV boys game, and I'm hoping that the varsity boys game will be equally as exciting, and I think it will be. As we've said so many times, you can throw the records out the door when these two teams play, It's going to be a terrific all-out effort for both squads, and we will not be shocked at the outcome either way it turns out. And we watch the two squads warming up here. The Crushers to our left and the Grizzlies to our right. And of course, each team warms up at the basket that they'll be shooting at in the first half. And each team always shoots in front of the other team's bench in the first half. And then in the second half, they shoot in front of their own bench, which I think is a wonderful tradition. They do it that way in high school and college, and I have no idea why the NBA doesn't do it that way, because I think it's terrific for a team to be shooting in front of their own bench in those critical moments of the game. So I'll hand it back to you, Ira, now.
All right, well, that wraps up our broadcast of the first game of our basketball doubleheader.
You're listening to Ira's Pick of the Week, local sports broadcasting on KVON.